Blog Talk Radio.
I painted this perfect picture without a brush. This canvas is abstract, confusing, huh? But if you use the soul, not the mind, you find that the colors intertwine and create love. Your ethnic is half black and Puerto Rican. Got your sonogram pics, I'm seeing your features. You gotta.
Love Reigns. You can follow me on Twitter at I Am Love Reigns. Follow me on Instagram. Same name, LIAMLOVEREGINS. We are one host short this afternoon and for a while. Our dear and precious number one fetish, also known as Alexis, is going to boot camp tomorrow, so she will be missed. But if you guys please remember, please send her your prayers, send her your well wishes and some encouraging words. But I'm going to turn it over to Marie in Jacksonville. Hey, Marie.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Marie Barojo. And someone asked me what that name meant, and the name Marie is a pretty common name, but Barojo actually means free-spirited. And I welcome you guys to the show today.
Awesome. And then we're going to go all the way out to Phoenix, Arizona to Sage. Hello, Sage.
Hello, hello, righteous people. Welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in. This is Sage Nyack, the Billionaire Brown Girl. Of course, you know I'm reminding you that the riches are to be found in life forever. What riches have you found lately? We're excited about the show. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Cool beans. So, on today's show, we are chatting live and tapping into the genius artistic mind of Nelly, the artist, the tattoo artist. She is internationally known. She's tattooed to celebrities, to the stars. She's just very awesome at what she does, and she's amazing. So we get an opportunity to talk to her this evening, so I'm looking forward to that. And we're going to talk about the passion behind the art. You know, there's a lot more to it than people believe or people would think. So that's what we're going to talk about. And then after our interview with Nelly, we're going to toss it over to Marie for our unwrapped segment. What are we tapping into today, Marie?
Well, we're just going to stay on this track of passion. And one of the things we're going to discuss is simply living passionately. How can we find our passion? And then a lot of people, I think a lot of times we combat the word passion with something emotional. And it actually is more than enthusiasm. It's more than any type of excitement. It's giving that energy. It's giving more energy than what is required, actually. It's the materialization of ambition. It's putting into action as much mind, body, and soul as is possible. So how can we discover that for ourselves and then apply it to every area of our lives? So I'll give my portion on living passionately, and hopefully you'll add to it. And in the end, we'll have a big old scrumptious heaping amount of information to help you guys live more passionately.
A big old scrumptious amount. I like that. Awesome. Cool. So, again, today we're going to talk about passion. We're going to talk about passion behind the art. And there, we can take it so many ways. You can take that topic so many ways. What do you guys think before we get into our guest for the evening? What do you think it takes to tap into your passion? You know, a lot of people, they're so used to working a 9-to-5 and they have a passion, but what do you think it would take for anybody out there that has a goal or has a dream and they're just like, oh my gosh, like I want to do it, but you know, this is stability. This is more guaranteed. What would you say to them?
Well, for someone who has taken that leap, I think the very first thing is to let go of fear. It's letting go of the thing that paralyzes us and leaves us so unfulfilled in our lives. I think after a while, fear becomes such a part of our everyday day that we don't even recognize it as fear. And one of the things that I recognized that was fear manifesting in my life was my need for accolades or my need for acceptance and my need for affirmation from others, because I was so unsure of what it was that I was trying to do or what it was that I was purposed to do. And so I think it is imperative that, you know, you really be truthful with yourself and then find a way to let go of fear. That's the first step.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. Sage, what do you think?
Ironically, I was just writing on the subject just the other day, and I'll just simply read what I've written. To me, purpose plus passion equals progression. So aligning with your purpose and vision for your life will move you in a way that years of settling never could. If you're comfortable with where you are, you're probably not living your passion. You're probably just living to get by and do the bare minimum and be comfortable. Passion is scary, and it pushes you out of what you're used to, because usually what you're used to doing is that which keeps you at a certain level of acceptance with your surroundings. So when you're passionate, you're happy, you don't complain as much, you're just content. So it doesn't, like Melissa mentioned, the accolades and things like that, it no longer matters. It's just that you're living in bliss. You're not living to discover bliss. You're actually living bliss. So that's
beautiful.
What being passionate would be for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That was good. That was good, Sage.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's I know it's a lot of times it's so fear is so paralyzing, man. And it's like sometimes it's not even just from our own thoughts and our own caution or our own cautious thoughts. It's from the people that are around us. It's from our surroundings. It's from our environment. You know what I mean? You have people who are around us constantly. Oh, well, no, you shouldn't do that. Or, you know, well, maybe you should just wait, you know. And a lot of times it's not only our own fear that paralyzes us, but it's the fear of the people that we're around too, you know.
Absolutely. I think because we, you know, because we're all connected. And it's really energy. I mean, it's really easy to pass on that negative energy to one another. And it could be something so simple as words, you know. And a lot of times I think we really underestimate the power that the words that we speak and the words that we take in actually are. I was just telling someone this morning about that double-edged sword, and I think a lot of times we only think about that as it relates to something that's blatantly damaging, something that's blatantly harmful. And so, we caution ourselves to not speak and say negative things because we don't want the karma, we don't want any bad things coming back on us. But in the same token, you know, saying something as simple as, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
Right.
And then we're saying that, and especially if we're saying it to someone else. So now we're spewing that doubt on them. We've put it in the atmosphere, and it came right back to cut us and to keep us once again and continuously still paralyzed right where we are, like Sage said, you know, not being able to live in bliss because of the words that we speak.
That's true. And I think, too, as you were talking, I was thinking, somebody posted a sticky note on my desk one day, and it said, the power of no. And I know for me, that speaks a whole lot to me because one of the things that you also have to be willing to do is say no. You know, you have to be willing to say no to friends. You have to be willing to say no to family, to the naysayers, to the doubters, to the haters. And then you also have to be able to say no to the people who don't really or fully understand or appreciate your passion, you know? Because I know as an artist, we get taken advantage of so much. And people don't really accept it. If for whatever reason, people don't accept it fully, understand that this is a career, and it can be a career. You know, no, we're not clocking in a 9-to-5 every day, but being an artist is an actual job. It's an actual career, and you have a lot of people who take advantage of that, you know, and want to say, oh, why don't you draw this for me, you know, for a friend of mine, or why don't you come do this show for me, you know, and we'll feed you, you know. But a lot of times, even that cripples us too, because we get so caught up in that, and that allows us to, or that makes us undervalue ourselves too, you know, because you almost feel unworthy, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. I know with you, Marie, with you, getting into being a doula. Well, first, explain what you're getting into and what a doula is. A lot of people don't know what that is.
Okay. Just to give a really quick background of what doula basically means help, or doula means assistance. And what a doula actually does is we help women, or we support families in whatever their birth process is. One of the things that's important for me is so not only just supporting the women, but also allowing families to see the different possibilities as far as their birth is concerned, and giving them the education, giving them the information. So in addition to being now a certified doula, I'm also studying herbology as well, and studying also the indigenous doula, which is an entirely different topic, but it's been a fantastic, from day one, it's been very fantastic for me to sort of step out and say, You know, I have been a mom for so long, a mate for so long, and doing everything that everyone else wanted me to do, and which is also connected with purpose, if you really realize it, because my heart was to serve, but I didn't really understand how I could take that further. And I became a victim's advocate. I did that for a few years, and I love being a victim's advocate. But my heart was definitely teaching, and my heart was definitely in the birth process and also the postpartum process as well. So there are a lot of things going on for me. Actually, next month I'm going to be taking another course on belly binding and all of the different ways that I can help moms. So I figure as much as I know will be as much as I'll be able to offer. Oh, it's a fantastic thing.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Cool beans. Well, that's exciting, because I definitely didn't know what that, I didn't know what that was, but it takes a lot of faith to be able to do, or to be able to leap into whatever your passion is, to leap into whatever that destiny may be. And I know Sage as well. Sage is taking a huge leap of faith. Sage, would you care to explain and expound on what your leap of faith is?
My leap of faith is using my voice, not being afraid to create, even as small as being a part of this, being a co-host on The Conscious Creative. It was almost scary for me in the beginning, so I knew I had to do it. And I'm a creator, so it's not really something that you can narrow me down to. I love to write. I love to create. I love to uplift and things like that. So just dancing in that is very liberating for me. And we speak of, you know, people who mean well who may tell you, well, just go get a job. Go get a job so you have security. You can just pay these bills and things like that. But if we keep doing that, then we continue in the matrix, basically, I believe, and we never get anywhere. We never transcend this reality. And those very people who have told me, in my experience, to find my comfort zone and stay there, basically, by getting a job and doing what everybody else thinks I should be doing to be comfortable, those are the very people who I dedicate my will to do and my will to live freely too, because I realize they need it more than me. I don't think they mean any ill will when they encourage me to do that. They're just living out their own fears through my vision. And if I allow them to do that, I perpetuate that cycle. And so I've chosen not to do so, and that's some of the things that actually push me to do so, because I've seen so many of my elders. I've seen them work all of their lives, and then they run away from their passion so much to where it's basically made them crazy in their older age, literally, in some cases. And I just think that this is the generation that's going to be that change. Everybody talks about change, but I think that this generation is actually living it and creating it. So I'm grateful to be a part of it.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, we have our special guest online, Nelly, the tattoo artist, who is an amazing international tattoo artist. We're going to bring her on in just a second. But I do believe we have the creator of Get Lifted online. So I'm going to bring her on. I believe she's in Lorain, Ohio right about now. Maggie, is that you, homie? Maggie? Yep, no, maybe not. Maggie?
Can you hear me?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Very well.
I'm doing well. I just wanted to call in real quick and just, you know, show my support as always and just continue to let you guys know that you're doing an absolute wonderful job with your broadcast. Your numbers look awesome. So thank you to all the listeners and supporters that tune in to The Conscious Creative every Sunday from 4 to 6.
Awesome. Cool. Are you still in Ohio?
Yes, and I'm so ready to come back. I'm freezing. Like, I got a cold. My nose is peeling. My lips are chapped. Like, I'm ready to get back to the sun. My body's in shock right now, like, what is going on, you know? So it's like 28 degrees right now with its wind chill factor. It feels like 19.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so you guys enjoy that sun for me. I'll be back tomorrow night.
It's beautiful out here in Arizona. Let me tell you, Maggie. Let me tell you, I'm enjoying the sunshine in Arizona. It's 82 degrees. And that's not me smearing this in your face. I just want you to know.
Oh, really? It's not, right? But that's it, you guys. I just wanted to make sure, even though. Huh?
I said, she's not rubbing it in or anything.
No,
not at all.
She knows. I'm just standing outside with this wind blowing in my ear real quick so I can get a good signal, you know.
Don't be all right.
But no, I just wanted to let you guys know that although I'm away from everything right now dealing with family issues, like everything get lifted and, of course, whatever else I have going on is still in my mind. So I just wanted to let you guys know that even though I'm, you know, away, I'm in tune to what's going on, so... Y'all have a great show, and shout out to Nelly, the tattoo artist. I thank you for being a part of our broadcast.
Awesome, good deal. Well, you be safe, man. Nelly, our prayers are with you and your family, and we'll see you. We'll see. Well, I'm not in Florida right now. I'm in Georgia right now, but I'll see you sometime this week.
Okay.
All right.
Bye bye.
All right.
Peace.
So I'm gonna Again, that was Maggie. Y'all follow her on Twitter, on Instagram, on all of your social media networking sites at I Am Maggie Love. That's Maggie, M-A-G-I, Love, L-O-V-E. She's amazing at what she does. So she's up in Ohio. She's there for a funeral. So please send your prayers and encouragement and light to her family. We're going to go ahead and get right into our special guest for the evening. I'm going to bring her on right now, all the way out in sunny California. I wish I had, I got to find like some hand claps or something. But please welcome to our show, Nelly. Nelly, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Hello. How is everybody?
We're good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, okay. What's going on with everybody?
For calling in, and thank you for letting us pick your brain for a few and get to know more about you. So we definitely appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go to a quick break real quick. I'm feeling real good about this indie music that we have on the show this afternoon. So I think I want to go ahead and get into a little Mr. Al Pete, who is a wonderful DJ and lyricist in Jacksonville, Florida. So y'all make sure y'all check him out, MrAlPete.com. So this is Weekend from Mr. Al Pete.
Yo, I wish I had a top to lay it down, but the Pacifica, it stayed down. So I gas it up, glad I have my truck, cause a nigga could be stuck looking broke as fuck. Don't got too much, but your folk gon' stunt. Got a feel for that C-Rock, the mix of my punch. Got big crit, packed div on the bump. Got the black of mine burning to give off the funk. Now I'ma hit these damn streets and see what be cracking and shaking like a dice game. Or maybe scout for a nice thing and see what friend she might bring. Or it can just be her, wanna dig a lane. Either or, I'ma soar, skate, glide, cause there's no gigs till the next week fly by. Till then, I wanna see something. Follow me close, cause a pedal I be punching. I got the day off, crankers on deck. Need to be good, so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. I got the day off, crankers on deck. Need to be good, so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. I'm steadily hitting the corners, still looking dope, and I'm dipping like I'm trying to hit the border. Tipping on them shoulders, handling this drink like a soldier, or this pistol sitting in the holster.
Wish a nigga would think they about to get over and fuck up my weekend, man, you damn joking. The sun be potent, my hand be courting, and she dripping from the bottom like a cracked glass on the coaster. So say that scandal shit for Arnold Schwarzer. Not in the mood to be a torch and torture anyone's existence, and I will make that known that chilling is a business, man. I let my business stand to the left while I play the other end, putting trouble in the wind. The latitude of my attitude's a 10, and I spot a barbecue, so I'm going for the win. I got the day off, crackers on deck. Need to be good so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. I got the day off, crackers on deck. Need to be good so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. Now I'm full of tick, back on the liquor. Still looking smooth like it's time to take a picture. I might tight nice, you don't really know what hit ya. Till I speed past, as the thoughts get bigger, I am that nigga, cool ass Al, that love to work a wheel, make a lady smile, who love to take a day, hit the mall and proud, get the petty, spend some fetty, or hang out with the child, go cross the butt, man, and view the skyline, float down Edgewood, pick up to the north side, Pearl World, Phoenix Al, and 103, done seen me cruising, floating down Mayport Road, then take it back to 45, they jumping like a toad, all from a one-day stroll. Yeah, and that's how I go. Come on, I got the day off, crackers on deck. Need to be good so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Get up, get out, and see some things. I got the day off, crackers on deck. Need to be good so I see what's next. So I get up, get out, and see some things. Yeah, get up, get out, and see some things.
So again, that was Mr. Al Pete. That was The Weeknd by Mr. Al Pete. Y'all make sure y'all follow him at Mr. Al Pete. Check out www.mralpete.com. So yeah, again, we have on the line, we have international tattoo artist Nelly joining us all the way out from California. So welcome again, Nelly. Thank you for calling in. For those of you who have called in to listen to the show, and for those of you who are online, if you called in, if you want to, if you have a question, if you have a comment, or if you just want to listen in, if you want to talk to us, press 1. That'll let me know that you want to speak. And we also have a live chat that's going on www.blogtalkradio.com/getliftedradio. So there's a live chat going on, and you can call. Again, remember, just to press 1 if you want to speak or if you have any questions or comments or concerns, press 1 so that we know that you want to speak. Once again, our special guest for this afternoon is Nelly. I'm going to read a bio about her, and then we're going to get right into it. As a young kid, Nelly the artist knew that one day she would be covered in tattoos. They have always appealed to her. Not just the art, but the concept of existing within the art. Nelly didn't realize that her high school pastime of drawing on classmates with markers, creating authentic tattoo designs, would evolve into becoming a tattoo artist. Nelly embarked on her tattooing journey in Miami, Florida at the age of 22 and is currently in her 8th year of professional tattooing. She is a mobile artist currently residing in Los Angeles, California. As a mobile artist, she travels both domestically and internationally to design for her clientele. So if you can't make it to her, she can make it to you. Nelly is known for her ability to create a masterpiece based on your visions and bringing them to life. Her reputation has given her the opportunity to work with an extensive clientele list, many of whom you may recognize. Her celebrity clientele consists of Trey Songz, Young Jeezy, CTE, Blood Raw, Boo Rossini, Nisha Rockstar, Larry Drew II, Ed Davis, Shalonda Robinson, VH1's Hot Wings from Real Chance of Love, and many, many more. According to Nelly, the artist's client, she's not the average tattoo artist. In addition to a beautiful tattoo, each client is left with a life-changing experience, compelling them to return for more. So, again, welcome, 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 Nelly. Woo! So, again, man, thank you for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate it. I know Sage was saying that she's been following you for a while. I told you I insta-stalk you every now and then. And the funny part about it is, like, I remember in high school, man, I remember you drawing, drawing all the time, and it's crazy to see where you are in your journey now. So how do you feel? How does that make you feel to think on that and think about where you were to where you are now, and also think about where you're headed?
It's kind of overwhelming when I think about it, but I just always stay humble about it. It's pretty cool to look back, and then when I, you know, come in contact with people from high school like you, and they remind me of that, it's like, you know, it's kind of crazy how life leads you in a certain directions. And, you know, I absolutely feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in life. So I just take it one day at a time.
That's what's up. That's what's up. When did you know? Like, did you know in high school that this is what you wanted to do as a career?
I didn't know it was going to end up being a career, but I actually knew when I was, like, six that I would be covered in tattoos. I didn't know how far it was going to take me.
Cool. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So when you run into people, you know, outside of high school, when you run into people that knew you back way back when, and they see where you are now, what's the consensus? What do people normally say?
They usually just say how proud they are of me and how they remember, you know, in high school me drawing and stuff like that, and how crazy life is, and they're proud of me, and you know, it's always supportive words and encouraging and stuff.
Good deal, good deal. Marie, you had a question, Marie?
Well, not necessarily a question, but I do think it is fantastic that you have found your gate through passion and through purpose. And just like Titi was saying, or Love was saying earlier, about how, you know, sometimes you're faced with the opposition. And the opposition is mostly from those who you would expect or who you want to encourage you. And so because it's such an unconventional path that you've taken according to what socio-normative views that people have put on, placed on one another. But when you were initially faced, you know, with that opposition, or if you were faced with that opposition, walk us through that, because one of the things we want to do here is to cultivate that passion, help others find it within themselves. So just sort of walk us through that kind of moment you sort of fell into your purpose or started that journey initially.
I was actually in the military when I got out of high school. I thought my passion was going to be basketball, but I ended up going to the military, and once I was in the military and I was getting out, I knew that I had to do something productive with my life when I got out, just off of the lessons that I learned and the discipline and, you know, all that stuff in the military. And just coming back home, watching my mom and my dad, like, they both were independent. They worked for themselves, and I knew that that's what I wanted. I just didn't know in which direction I wanted to go to. And I remember when I was younger, I told my mom that I wanted to be a tattoo artist, and she thought I was crazy. And when I brought that back to her attention when I was older, and I got out of the military, she was a little bit supportive. She was like, you know, if this is something you really want to do, let's figure out how to do it. And it's something that I tell people that kind of I was in the right place at the right time, and every step that I went through was meant to be. And I say that because I asked around for, like, because you have to do an apprenticeship, so I asked around, and a lot of people kept saying no. So I was getting a little bit discouraged, and then I kind of fell into the hands of this guy in Miami. His name is Gino, And I will always be grateful for him because he kind of like embraced my wanting to actually get to know him. He was like, you know, if you want to do this, go out and buy your stuff and come back and see me. So I told my mom, I bought my supplies, my starter kit. I went back and I'm thinking that he was going to teach me how to tattoo. And I came to him with all this stuff that he told me to get, and he was just like, okay, now go out and figure it out. So it was kind of like a tough love thing. Yeah, it was really, it was tough love, and I went out and I figured it out. And luckily, I had a few friends who were trusting enough to let me experiment with them, and I did, and I figured it out on my own. I started doing, like, little things here and there on my friends. I took pictures, and I came back, and I showed him what I was doing, and he was kind of blown away that I had no knowledge of how to put things together, and I figured it out, and then I was doing the work that I was doing. So he quickly embraced me and taught me a few things and then had me go to a shop that his friend had an opening spot for an apprenticeship, and it just went from there, and it kind of blossomed into me not even having to do a real apprenticeship and just becoming a tattoo artist. And I was taking it every day, step by step, and just, you know, soaking it in. And I'll tell people, like, if you want to do something and you're passionate about it, don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything stop you, because fear can be so detrimental to that. Like, just the fear of stepping out and putting yourself out there for rejection or putting yourself out there to fail. Like, I was never afraid of that. Mm-hmm. I always just went out and did it because I knew that anytime I fell down, I could get back up. And as soon as you know that you can get back up, you can keep going.
Right. I think that was definitely very powerful. Something you said earlier about how you kept trying, you kept asking. And so right there, you made that life decision to not be passive, you know, and to allow your passion to lead you. And that's very important, especially for any type of growth. You know, you wanted something and you asked for it.
Right.
And you didn't allow that to stop you. And that's fantastic. So talk to us about some of the doors that have opened up. I know definitely with tattooing different artists, different celebrities, but what other doors has this particular job opened up for you?
The whole celebrity thing kind of, it was, again, being at the right place at the right time and just people using my name and word of mouth just off of the person that I was, and then me knowing my artistry had to speak for itself. So I appreciate everybody who, you know, put my name out there, like, in people's ears or whatever. And then from that, it just created a whole different clientele base for me. Like, once I started doing celebrities, it just opened up, like, a whole nother door where, you know, it gave my artistry a little bit more importance, per se. So I just felt like I always had to push myself even harder just to be able to live up to that. And I honestly would say that when I did my first celebrity, I don't think I was ready for it, but I accepted the challenge that the universe was throwing my way because I felt like it was for a reason. And because I stepped out on faith and I wasn't fearful, I was successful at it. And that's kind of how I take it day by day. And opportunities that have been coming my way is, you know, just being able to travel overseas is something that I wanted to do. And I've been to Guantanamo, Cuba. I've been to Germany, and I'm just ready. I have people right now trying to work on some stuff for Australia. So I'm just putting it all into the universe and hoping that it works out like it's always been to this point.
Awesome. That's something that we were talking about earlier as far as fear and how paralyzing and crippling fear can be, you know what I mean? And not only from yourself or from your own thoughts, but from the people who are around you, you know what I mean? So, like, to have, for you to be able to have friends who really entrusted you with being able to tattoo them, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's huge to me. I'm like, it's not like, you know what I mean, hey, let me write this poem for you. Let me test this poem out on you. This is like, I'm going to give you a part of my skin to tattoo on that's like permanent, you know what I'm saying? So
I'm forever grateful for everybody that's been a part of my career from the beginning until now, and those who I'm going to encounter in my future. Like, I'm just so grateful for it.
awesome. That's what's up. So before we go to Sage, there's a couple people who are, we have the lines are like blowing up. This is crazy. We have a couple people who want to speak to you. So callers, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out the last four of your number to bring you on if you have a question or a comment for Nelly. So caller 9169, you are now live on the Conscious Creative.
Hi, Nelly. Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm doing fine. This is artist Lil Rain's cousin, and I just wanted to say hello.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm coming to see you. Are you located in Jacksonville?
No, I'm in L.A. right now, but I travel.
Okay, well, when you travel to Jacksonville, let Love Rain know I'm coming to get a tattoo.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Nice talking to you.
Same to you.
Thank you, Meek.
Okay.
All right. So we have another caller that's been holding. Caller 3988, you are now live. Hello?
It's a party.
You're not, all right. Hello? That's out. So apparently, I don't know who that was, but it sounded like I heard my mom in the background, which is funny. That is hilarious. So, Sage, did you have any questions for Nelly?
Yes, of course. Nelly, you know, we talk about the artist and we see your work, wonderful work at that, and you have to wonder, when you embark on your passion, it takes a lot of dedication, drive, and focus. So when it comes to your personal life, we all have that desire to be in a relationship at some point and stay connected with our families and stay grounded and things like that. How do you maintain that and also travel as much as you do?
For me, my family is the most important thing. As far as relationship, right now I'm single and I'm just focusing on me. And
lady?
Huh?
No, I said lady. She's single.
Yeah, I was going to say somebody just high-fived your friend on that one.
No, but my main focus right now, like, I'm very close to my family. I have a very huge family. And right now, like, I have a sister who's in the hospital. And my family's all in Miami with them, and I'm the only one that can't be there. So, you know, it's kind of tough for me right now, but I know that everything's going to be okay. So, like, I don't really have time for relationships, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But
so it's just your
my
main, family.
Yeah, my main relationship that I focus on is myself and my family at the moment and my career.
Awesome. Okay, so pretty simple for you. That's good.
Huh?
So even that, though, that's hard. Like, how do you, I mean, it's, you know, I know you're traveling a lot, so it's probably easier to avoid it, but how do you stay focused? How do you keep your focus and keep your attention on your artistry and on, you know, what you've set out to do? How do you do that?
I think it's because I have a supporting family. Like, my entire family knows what I'm trying to do with my career, where I'm trying to go. So them staying supportive for me helps me stay grounded. And it's just focus and faith. A lot of faith goes into what I do and being away from my family and traveling as much as I do, as tired as I get. As, you know, I just remain, like, focus on the bigger picture, per se.
Yeah.
And what's the bigger picture for you, Nelly? What is that for you?
The bigger picture is for my parents to not have to work anymore.
Amen to that.
The bigger picture is for me to be able to retire them and buy them their dream home and then build my empire, like my business, and, you know, just different things. But right now it's just really focusing on easing up the workload on my parents, because they've done so much for me growing up, and I'm just in a place where I'm trying to give back to them, like, as an appreciation.
Right. that's an honorable thing. I think a lot of kids I know from, well, I lost both my parents, but I know at the end it was very important for me to create an atmosphere that she definitely and knew that she was appreciated and loved. And we show that, I think, a lot of times our parents, even when we're talking about the fear and how sometimes when they said something that a lot of times people will, how did you say it, they put their fear, work their fear through your vision. And
yes,
it isn't always, it isn't always, you know, because of something negative that they're feeling. It's almost like the whole, you know, I just want to put you in a bubble type of thing. I just want to make sure everything's okay with you. And it can be scary, you know your baby is out here traveling all over the place, meeting all these different people. And I know as a parent, you know, I'm a parent, I know it can definitely be scary. I think it's beautiful that you want that for your parents, but I'm sure they don't expect that at all, which makes it even more, you know, needy and makes you work even harder because they don't expect it.
Right. Yeah, they definitely don't ask for it, they don't expect it, but it's something that I want to do for me and for them, so.
Oh, good deal. So what's next? You know, what's next for Nelly? I know that you're traveling a whole lot, and you said that you're working on Australia. What's the next big thing for Nelly?
Right now, I'm actually working on a breast cancer project where I'm tattooing breast cancer survivors who have had mastectomies and other scars related to the breast cancer, and pretty much just tattooing them and them wearing the tattoo as a shield of honor and to give them, like, a little bit more boost of confidence, like, you know, when they're taking off their clothes or when they're looking in the mirror, when they're being intimate. And it's something that I've been working on for, like, the last few years. And I've tattooed a few clients already, and I'm getting the website and everything together for that. And hopefully it takes off the way I want it to.
Awesome. That's wonderful, and yeah, especially when you're, you know, you're someone who's pursuing entrepreneur, you know, you're a business owner. That's something that's very relevant, giving back, because the law of reciprocity is a real thing, and so we can't always expect this certain level of success, or we'll miss a certain level of success because we don't give freely.
Right. That's true.
And so is that a part of your everyday, the giving part? You know, how have you mentored any kids or anything like that? Like how what else are you doing to give back?
I haven't mentored anybody yet. I wouldn't mind getting into that. I just work so much, but mainly my project is giving me a chance to give back to people and bring an awareness into, you know, just what goes into the daily lives of people who are surviving something like breast cancer and even their families. And I'm just, I'm attached to it because my mom, she doesn't have breast cancer, but she does have these scars on her legs that she's kind of ashamed of, and that's where it kind of came from, where I wanted to use my art to uplift people and give them more, you know, confidence and just something to look at every day that's a beautiful reminder that, you know, it's something that they could keep going. You'll keep them going every day.
Awesome. Good deal. Say, did you have any other questions for Nelly?
I think we covered the bulk of it.
Cool. So we have another caller online. Callers again, I'm going to call out the last four of your number to let you know that you're live on the air. So caller 2955, you are now live. Hello? Caller? Oh, I think their signal faded. So anybody else that's listening in, I think people get online and then they get shy. That's funny. But so anybody else that's out there that wants to call in to Nelly, we're going to hold on to Nelly for just a few more minutes. We're going to go into another track. And this song is a song that I was blessed to be a part of by a local artist by the name, or a local Jacksonville artist by the name of Monica Monet. So this is Spoken Word Artist by Monica Monet, and we'll be right back.
Hold up.
Invited to the Nappy Halo Volume 1.
Galaxies reciting these bars. I'm reciting my heart. Lyrical poet, sweet, sweet, so delicious. These lyrical snippets can really grow in the spiritual realm. See, I really know then I'm on the spinning record, fight the glow. Whatever the lyric, I bring the soul. Poetic redemption, I be making the whole.
I don't do it for the snap, don't do it for applause. I don't do it for pats on the back saying, sister, you got a knack for these clauses and these phrases and these words that jump off these pages into our ears. We hear you. We are the receivers of truth, inhaling freedom through God-given gift. We speakers of words, we thinkers of verbs that give action. I found satisfaction in this gift, so sit back and relax and watch me lift you.
Are the dreamers of dreams, the publishers of thought. I'll make this scene brief. See, this is not a game, ladies and gentlemen. One stage fright diminishes, we shine to the utmost. Like Superman without the Clark Kent, Batman without the Bruce Wayne, the Incredible Hulk without Banner. I really do this. Grandfather, you can see me now, you would smile. No matter what happens, rain or shine, love or hate, I am the music maker, the dreamer of dreams.
Nice is an understatement. Like the red undertone of my skin. It's a part of me, but not the majority. Consider me a new trend. 'Cause I carry fashion through my lips. Creativity, originality, tediously proceeds through my being. My mouth opens with persistence. Always consistent, and I speak with the intent to make my ancestors proud. From Brooklyn to Iraq, I've been around, and the first friend I've truly found is poetry. She took my flaws and grabbed hold of me. She can care less who knows we go together. She loves me boldly and she keeps me safe by her side. And in between the fluctuation of my lifelines, I hide within her white lines. I never thought my life would reside on the sides of wide ruled notebook lines. And I tell the tale of a woman who says it loud. I'm a poet and I'm proud. And I thank God, Jesus, Buddha, Jah, Allah, for my art, for my heart, for bandaging my internal scars. And for you, I'll make way and give you a chance to listen to what I have to say. Cause if you got the time, there's no way I can't change your life. I'm living proof. I save lives when I write.
All right, so we are now, we are back live on the Conscious Creative. That was Spoken Word Artist by Monica Monet featuring myself, Love Rain, Nightcrawler, and the Reformed Butterfly. Y'all make sure y'all check out monicamonet.com. Once again, we are live with Nelly, the artist. If you have any questions or comments or concerns, give us a call and talk to Nelly. Press 1 to talk to Nelly for those of you who are calling in. And for our online listeners, www.blogtalkradio.com/getliftedradio. So we're going to close out our interview with Nelly. So Nelly, once again, thank you for allowing us to pick your brain and giving us some insight and some encouraging words for those who are out there that maybe kind of teetering on the fence of living their passion or accepting or stepping into their passion. Go ahead and tell the folks how they can get in contact with you and where you'll be coming up.
Well, my website is NellyTheArtist.com. Instagram and Twitter is NellyArtist. I have a spring tour next month. I'll be going to Pittsburgh, Chicago, D.C., Miami, and Arizona, and New York in May. But I still have some dates coming up for May, and then I'm going to get ready for my summer tour, kicking it off in June. But pretty much you can just reach me out via my website or Instagram, and I'm very open with social media as far as, you know, responding back to people.
Okay, good deal.
And I also have an art project coming up as well sometime this year because I do paintings and things like that. So I'll be putting out information as the days get closer.
Awesome, good deal. And I saw something too on Instagram. You have Nelly Apparel, right?
Yeah, I'm working on that too. That should be out by the summertime.
Okay, cool. So any of the Nelly artist fans out there, y'all make sure y'all look out for the Nelly Apparel. Before we close out, Marie or Sage, did you guys have any closing words for Nelly?
No, just keep on being creative. Yeah, thank you, definitely. And just keep being creative. Your work is fantastic. I've seen many, many pictures of your work. And you are absolutely a true artist. And hopefully one day you'll get to tattoo me. I've been hoping for this sort of over-the-shoulder kind of funky thing that I just have not narrowed it down to exactly what I want yet. But when I do, I'll definitely reach out, Nelly.
Appreciate it. And let me know when you're ready.
I will.
Yes.
All right. Thanks.
I'm ready. So we just have to have the time and place to align. So hopefully when you're out in Atlanta, you can bless my temple with your artistry for sure.
For sure.
All right. Good deal. You know, I got some work that I'm going to get you to do, but we'll talk about that later. So, again, man, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I'll be posting.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'll be posting the show because people can go back and listen to the show. So I'll be posting it, and you'll see that. Again, sending mad love and light to you and to your family, sending many prayers to your sister. Everything's going to be all right, man. You got people praying with you. But just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you inspire me, and I know you inspire a ton of other people. So I definitely appreciate it, homie, and I appreciate you everything that you appreciate everything that you do. So good luck.
Likewise.
All right, man. Well, you have a good rest of the evening. Enjoy that sunny weather out there in California.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye.
All right, so once again, that was Nelly, man. Thank you guys again for listening in. For those of you who called in, my cousin who called in to talk to Nelly. If you have any questions or if you want to reach out to Nelly, again, her website is www.nellytheartist.com. So y'all check her out. Follow her on Twitter at Nelly Artist, Instagram at Nelly Artist. Right now, we're going to get into, I always get nervous about this segment, but I'm good because I don't think any of my family is listening, but we're going to talk about a little unwrappedness. So Marie,
wait a minute, why do you get nervous?
About sexual things?
Well, unwrapped is a lot more than just that.
I know it's more than that. But
yeah, sexual content sometimes. And, you know, we do hope that everyone who's listening are adults or at least are making a conscious decision to listen and they're old enough to do so. So, you know, if they're listening, I'm sure your family supports and I'm sure your family knows that you have sex. So, you know, it's okay. It's okay.
I don't have sex. I'm selling it.
Okay. When that started.
You're selling it?
That started about 15 minutes ago, Sage.
All right. So we're going to get, you say 15, before we get into Unwrap, here is the lovely Be Divine with Room 28. So when we come right back, we're going to get right into our Unwrap segment. So here's Be Divine with Room 28.
328. Come in. I want you. At me with those questionable eyes, as if to ask why. This feeling only comes whenever we are together. Instead of answering, I pop my head back, I lick my lips, grab my ankles, and push into you even more. My body can provide a better answer than my mouth ever could. You flip me over and part my seas, tasting each and every part of me. There are at least 4 fingerprints left behind on these walls. We entered yesterday. There are permanent scars on the sheets that the maids will never be able to wash away. There are memories of you and I that are made and we attempt to recreate them. There are at least 4 fingerprints inside these walls, left behind in room 328. Come meet me in room 328.
So once again, that was Be Divine with Room 328. Y'all make sure y'all check her out. I'm going to turn it over to Marie, who is going to introduce our unwrapped portion.
Thank you so much. Well, as always, you know, here on Unwrapped, we talk about everything, really. Sometimes we talk about sex. Sometimes it's relationships. My 11-year-old just walked away when I said the word sex. She does not want to be a part of this conversation at all. But, you know, we're free to just simply be, period, on this show, but definitely in our Unwrapped segment. So today we're discussing passion. So we're discussing living passionate lives. How can we tap into that? How can we get ourselves to understand the importance of passion in our lives? I think a lot of times we negate it, especially, you know, in certain religions, communities, they look at passion as a negative thing because lust and desire, those are such horrible words, but they're not. You know, sometimes it's that desire that drives us. It's that desire that prompts us to give more energy than what is necessary, and I think that's a beautiful thing. So I came across this fantastic quote by Anne Hillman, and she wrote equally fantastic book called The Dancing Animal Woman. And in this quote, the quote reads, "I did not know I was on a search for passion aliveness. I only knew I was lonely and lost and that something was drawing me deeper beneath the surface of my life in search of me. There was a hunger in people to go to those deep depths, to know that our lives are sacred, that our hearts are truly capable of love. It is a yearning to be all that we can be, a longing for what is real." And when I read this, I said, my gosh, that is fantastic, to know that sort of truth. And one of the things I'm going to touch on is, you know, is truth. And basically, that's sort of a precursor for understanding passion. It's knowing your truth, whatever that is. So if your passion or your desire is surrounding your career, then it's knowing what your expectations are and being truthful with yourself with whatever those things are. And then also knowing if there are any obstacles that could come up, you know, being truthful about those things, because it's only in that truth that we're able to have clarity. And we can't begin to live passionately or any other way without that clarity and living in that moment of bliss. So, you know, we're going to talk about truth. We're going to talk about letting go of fear and how that fear can actually paralyze us to not move, to not do any of the things that we are called to do as far as purpose is concerned. And then it's trusting whatever the process is. And not only the process, but trusting you. You know, a lot of times we fail to move because, yeah, we have the fear, and, yes, we may not recognize the truth, but then it's also I don't trust myself to make good decisions, and that's surrounding career, education, and even love. And so you're less likely, specifically in love, for instance, to create a negative atmosphere in your relationship if you trust yourself to make the best decisions for yourself. And so if you can trust yourself, then you can actually pull all the responsibility off of that person to fulfill your emotional needs because you trust that this person already has it because your decision was a sound one. So we're going to talk about those things. And you guys can call in at any time if you want to add to this, if you want to add about passionate living a passionate life. But first, you know, say if you can, you know, share with me what that means to you. I know we did it at the beginning of the show, but specifically about the things that you're doing in your life?
For starters, right now, writing a book. And that in itself is liberating because for so long I've been writing in my journals, not really sharing with very many people. And it's scary at times, but it's come to a point where the fear actually drives me, because I already know what it's like to exist in fear. So it drives me, and I push myself to a point to not hide anything as I write and not shy away from what is the truth or try to water down various subjects I won't reveal as much because I'm not revealing that much about the book just yet. But right now in that aspect, that is what passion is for me, and the reasons behind it and the people that I know will heal from the books that I'm writing, and the people that I know that I've inspired to use their voice for whatever purpose it's to be used for, and to step into their truth and not be afraid of their scars. And there's a quote that goes something like, your scars or your wounds are where the light entered you. And I definitely believe in that. And that's really what passion means to me, is living in a way that, because you never know who's watching you. That's something that I've
learned.
Right. You never know who's watching you, because I've had people who I didn't even know I was connected with, or I've had people just in person who have watched, and you're being yourself naturally, and then people are just like, you inspired me, or you gave me hope, or whatever. And that is something that means a lot to me, not in the sense that they're amping me up, but in the sense that I have assisted in breaking the chains that may have bound someone else otherwise, had I been, settling and living in fear. So right now, that's what passion and living a passionate life means for me.
Right, and that makes sense, because really the only way to expand on what's possible in our lives is to become unstuck. And a lot of times mm-hmm. we get stuck and complacent in these places, and when you're in that place, there's no motivation there. There's no light there. There's no understanding of a greater purpose. You don't have any of those things because you've been stuck in that place for so long. So how do we get out of that place? How do we achieve a better sense of self and live up to our higher purpose? How do we begin to live passionately? We definitely said letting go of fear. We definitely said truth. We definitely said trust. And then also to add to that is take responsibility of your own life. Take responsibility
Absolutely.
Of your thoughts, your actions. Identify the values and your desires and begin to fulfill and live this purposeful life. I know we talk a lot about, our purpose being connected to our passion. It definitely is. It definitely is. And so mm-hmm. if we take a moment and we sit back and understand that our life is our own, from very
Absolutely.
Little, we're taught the opposite of that. I read somewhere the other day where someone had written Jada Pinkett a letter asking her why she, quote unquote, let her daughter cut her hair and express
mm-hmm.
herself the way that she does. And I thought it was so fantastic that Jada's response was, how dare I think that I can let her do anything? And she
mm-hmm.
recognized very early that it is important that her daughter maintain autonomy, that her
mm-hmm.
daughter recognizes that her body is her own, her mind is her own, her life is her own, and that at the end of the day, whatever she makes or doesn't make out of it, that's her own as well. And so that it's important that we take that responsibility. And so even, from little, like I said, a lot of times that autonomy is stripped from us because, very well-intended parents will make very big decisions for us. And so very early on, we began to see ourselves as not ourselves because now I belong to so many people. And then that in itself is the beginning of living less than where we should be. And so again, it's letting go of fear. It's being truthful with yourself. It's trusting yourself and then taking responsibility of your own life.
And I think forcing yourself to get out of your comfort zone, I think, is a big thing. In my experience,
right.
moving to Arizona was something that was very spontaneous for me. I actually came out here to visit, and I decided to stay. I was only going to be here for a weekend, and I wasn't sure. I had an idea that I may stay, but I wasn't sure that I would. And I only had basically the clothes that I packed in my suitcase to visit, and I stayed. And coming to Arizona, I was familiar with a couple people, but I didn't know anyone.
Uh-huh.
And
being in Arizona has taken me outside of my comfort zone. I've always been close to my family physically. Spiritually, I'll forever be really close to my family. I'm a very family-oriented person. But a lot of the pain and the dysfunction was holding on to me really tight when it came to my immediate surroundings before I moved out here. And since I've been in Arizona, I've known what it's like to use public transportation. I've learned what it's like to be alone, and, you know, I no longer even own a television. I've gone that much deeper into meditation, gained an even deeper appreciation for it. And with myself, I've cried. So many of us are afraid of the dark, if that makes sense. We're afraid of the dark metaphorically. We're afraid to say that we're hurting. We're afraid to say that we're lonely. We're afraid to say that we're sad. We're afraid to say that we don't have the answers, like Sway. But coming out here to Arizona has gotten me out of my comfort zone, and I think that that's a big thing for anyone. Don't be afraid to travel from where you're used to. Don't be afraid to get outside of your neighborhood. There is a bigger world out there, and that world is waiting for you. Wherever that place may be, you'll decide, but you have to walk in that direction in order to get there. So getting outside of your comfort zone and those things that you really want to do, you have to kind of, I guess, get real with yourself, as some would put it, and decide what it is that you want to do. And those things that scare you the most, those are the things that you need to do now. So if it's moving, if it's having a conversation with someone that you've been holding off having for a very long time, or writing that book, or buying your kit like Nelly did, buying that kit and just stepping out there. People say step out on faith or whatever, but get outside of your comfort zone, because when you're in your comfort zone, 20 years have passed and you're still unhappy. Most people are unhappy in their comfort zone. So getting out of that is very important, and that's kind of been my experience. And I think looking back on it, I realize, like, nowadays, I wake up at 3 a.m. energized and completely ready for my day, whereas there were days before that I can remember where I didn't want to get out of bed. I just wanted to sleep because I felt like I was depressed and I was just sad and stuff like that. And I could have gone back home and nestled in the arms of my family and things like that, but I didn't. I didn't allow myself to feel sorry for myself, but I allowed myself to sit with those emotions. And that's another thing that society tells us not to feel. Don't feel scared. Don't be emotional. Don't express it. But if we repress it, it only eats away at us. So getting past those conditioned beliefs, those beliefs that have been programmed into us, getting past those can be scary. So those are some of the smaller steps that most of us probably need to take to get to the other side and get on to living our passion. It's so important.
And well, it sounds like, you know, you were definitely renewed in your sense of self. And that's definitely important. Because, again, you know, we live these lives that's full of titles and boxes. Because your sister, your mother, your wife, your whatever that title is. And then you're almost forced to maintain that place because that's what's expected of you. And so the very idea of venturing beyond it, not away from it, because you'll still be those things, but I'm going to venture beyond it. And right now I'm going to talk to mom friends. I'm going to talk to those who live family lives, and there's nothing wrong with that. I remember I had a woman say to me that, what if my purpose is simply to be his wife and my children's mother? And I said, if you have bought into that, then you're not only doing yourself a disservice, but also your children, your husband, and the entire universe. Because there's whatever your purpose is, it's not just about you. It's not even just about your home or your life. It's about
What am I adding to this world? How am I giving back? And I don't, you know, of course it's definitely volunteer work, and it's giving it to your community, it's picking up trash and or building a home for someone, absolutely all those things. But we can expand that. We definitely expand our possibility when we understand how to allow our purpose and our passion to work together for the good of the entire universe. And because that's what it is. And there's no way, no other way to live. And so after you've taken responsibility of your life and you're through your thoughts and through your actions, you know, what else can I do? Well, start living life experientially. You know, look at things as, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do something different, because it really is the only way to understand. It really is the only way to see and to become clear. Is to try new things, like you said. You know, travel outside of that comfort zone. Take a trip. Go camping. I read somewhere the other day how beneficial it can be to your life, to your sanity, to your physical health, your emotional and spiritual health, to literally shut down for about a week. And when I say shut down, it means getting rid of all outside stimulation, if you will. So, you know, no Facebook, no Instagram, no electronics at all. Taking your body and your essentials somewhere in, get a cabin or a tent somewhere, and just simply be for about a week and renew your mind and renew your spirit and meditate, like Sage says, and do all of these things. Because, listen, living a life without passion really is not living at all. It really is not living at all. So to begin to do those things, you have to first, you know, figure out your steps. Figure out that this may not be the safest path. Yes, I might make mistakes, and I may make plenty of them, but it's okay, because I'm no longer going to see my failures as something negative. I'm going to get those steps that I should out of it. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to grow. And I won't be afraid anymore. So who can imagine? So I guess a lot of times when we think about passion, love, we think about passion as it pertains to a physical connection with someone, right? So, and this will be the sexual part. So I'm warning her family right now if they want to put the phone down, turn the computer off, because this whole segment is going to be about sex right now, love. So just to bring it back together so everybody can get an understanding, right? So I'm going to assume that, I won't even assume. Let's just say you're not a virgin, right, that you've experienced the wonderful world of sex at some point in your life. And whether you are a novice or whether you are, you know, a professional at it, the best sex to be had is sex that's full of passion, right? And we're simply talking 15, 20 minutes. I don't know your stamina, but we're talking that little short amount of time. Now, in comparison, let's compare that sex that's passionate, that we fell on the floor a few times. I think I bruised my leg, but it doesn't even matter. Like somebody's knocking at the front door. I want to keep going no matter what. Now, let's compare that to we're just laying there. We have a duty to do. We have a job to do. Somebody may be satisfied. It doesn't really matter because this is something I'm supposed to be doing anyway. So if we took those two examples of passion physically, compared it to our lives, you know, which life are you leading? Are you falling on the floor? Are you bumping your leg? Are you sweating and panting and, you know, you feel like you are completely spent, your body is aching, but you're absolutely satisfied? Or are you just laying there waiting for something to be done to you? And you just want it to hurry up and be over.
I love that correlation.
That passion, that's the life we should be leading. Love. Is love back?
I'm here.
I think so.
Love is one of the most passionate people that I know. And I say that because I know her. And she's one of those women that will cry if you cry. She laughs when you laugh. And she completely just wants to live life. In overload most times, but she lives her life. Right? It's an overload sometimes.
You're right. But, I mean, hey, why not?
But and it's right, because it's your life and you completely embrace it for whatever it is, however it's going to be, you're going to dictate it, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that moment when you knew that that passion was not only imperative for being living in that bliss, but also it was imperative for your life.
Honestly, like it's like that's like a that's really a loaded question for me. You know what I mean? And I say loaded in the sense that I always thought that I knew what it was, and for years I'll say I thought that I had found it, and I thought that I knew what passion was, and I thought I knew what it was and what it meant to live in your passion. And I can honestly say that today, I probably wouldn't say I actually learned or that moment actually hit me. Probably like the beginning of this year. You know what I mean? That's when it was kind of like a light bulb, you know what I mean, to me. Mm-hmm. That was, it kind of said, you know, hey, no, what you thought was passion, it probably was a portion of it, or it probably was a precursor to where you are now, but what I thought was passion was not passion, and what mm-hmm. I'm living now as far as my life and the decisions that I'm making and the things that I'm doing them for me. You know what I mean? And yeah, of course, it comes with those. Well, if I make this decision, this person's going to be hurt. If I make this decision, how is this going to affect this person? How is it going to affect that person? But I still do it. And I still do it for uh-huh. me, whereas before it was solely me living my life for other people and feeling that, oh, well, my purpose is to be that for other people, or my purpose is to be, you know, to sacrifice myself for other people. You know what I mean? So that's what uh-huh. That's what I thought before. You know what I mean? And right. a lot of times that came at the cost of neglecting myself and neglecting the things that I truly wanted to do or the things that I truly felt, because I felt, well, oh, well, no, it's my purpose to do this for other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd say this year is when it hit me, that moment.
Yeah, it hit you and you realize that, I mean, is there true happiness? I don't like to use the word happy, because happiness is always contingent upon something. So you can right. only be happy if this is happening or that. But are you really content without passion? Yeah, and some people are. Some people are fine with sort of a monotone life. And again, passion is beyond excitement or enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving more energy than what is needed or what's called for into this thing, whether it's a thing or a person, an idea, whatever. Do you think, say, that you can actually be content in your life without passion?
I'm sorry, I didn't get all the question. What was it?
Can you actually be content in your life without that sort of passion we're discussing today?
Can you be content with your life? I don't think so. I don't think you can be content if you're not living your truth, because in the back of your mind you always have a sense of discontent because you know that there's more within you that you'd like to give or more that you'd like to be doing at the end of the day. Like me right now, I still work 10 hours a day, 4 days a week, and I know all my days when I'm off and I'm able to write and I'm able to create and I'm able to plan for things whenever I move and things like that, I'm just excited and full of energy. And when I'm at work, when I'm done, I just feel so drained and overwhelmed and things like that. So that's an example, but, I mean, you have to start somewhere. So you'll know when you're not living your passion, because your energy levels will be different. Your mentality will be different. You'll be tired. You'll be ready to just melt into the bed and get away from where you are. When you're living passionately, you're just there. Time doesn't exist. I find myself looking at the time quite often when I'm at that's just where I am right now. So I find that balance. I take those moments
to be still and be grateful no matter what and be present more than anything. But to answer your question, no, I don't think you could live a life completely content without living your passion. Yeah, I think that's an impossibility. I know they say nothing is impossible, but I don't think that's possible.
Right, right. So I found another fantastic quote from Joseph Campbell, and he says that in this life, creative adventure, the criterion of achievement will be the courage to let go of the past, with its truths, its goals, its dogmas of quote-unquote meaning and its gifts, to die to the world and come to birth from within. That's passion to him. For him, passion meant I'm going to let go of so many things that have held me bound, that have kept me from seeing the world the way that I should. Because, you know, we do get caught up in what's happening right now. So if this is happening right now, like with me stepping out and doing all the things that I'm trying to achieve and wanting to do, and I have children, I have rent, I have bills, I have car note, I have all these things that need to happen. And now, you know, of course you can't let go of those things or your ass going to be homeless. You know, absolutely, I'm not telling anybody go quit your job, do any of those things. But there's definitely steps that you can take that can put you on that path. And another one of those steps, you know, I mentioned letting go of the fear. I mentioned truth. I mentioned trust and then taking responsibility. And then also be creative. Be creative. Like find that place within yourself that you're sitting at the table. I can remember when I was probably in elementary school, and everybody, you know, who's listening could probably remember making those flowers. So you start with that circle, and then you start making these funky little petals. And so the more petals that you make, your flower grows. And so I remember I used to do it all the time because I just thought that I was so creative. It was so much fun to make these flowers, but after a while, I'm making the same flower over and over, and I wanted to do something different. So ever so often I'd add, you know, some stems, or maybe I put a bird inside of the petal or a bee inside the petal. I'll make a rain behind the flower. And then I found different ways to make the mundane fantastic for me. And that's what being creative is. It's simple things like going home and, you know, I have this wall in my living room that started off white, of course, when you first move, everything is all white and bland. And I can't live in that sort of environment. It literally sucks me dry. And so I painted it green. And then later on, I painted another wall, this sort of blood red color. And then I'm at the art market, and I'm walking down the street, and I see this guy. He has this huge painting, this fantastic painting. And when I looked at it, it reminded me of a squid, and I just loved it, but it was actually a pomegranate. Who knew? He said it's a pomegranate. I said it's a squid, but I got it, and I put it on my wall because I needed that around me. And so it's doing small things like that, finding a way to be creative in your space, because it encourages you to think outside of the box that society has put you in. And that also is the beginning of a passion-filled life. So I can imagine, I mean, I've never been to Sage's home, but she's such a profound woman, and I can imagine her having books all over her floor, just kind of books, random types of books stacked up on the floor. She probably has a poster of Buddha in the bathroom, and just different things that encourages her spirit, right? Things like that that encourages her spirit.
I don't have Buddha in the bathroom, but Buddha is in here. I have Papa Marley. I have Bob Marley in here, and I definitely have books all over the place. That is
all over
true.
The place.
How did you know? Because I know you're in Jacksonville.
I don't know.
So
I assume just based on conversations with you and based on, you know, what we share. And again, you know, when we share ourselves like that, we open ourselves up to even more possibilities as well. Because when we limit ourselves to our own thoughts and ideals, then that's exactly where you'll stay. If you don't at the very least have a conversation with someone who thinks differently, then you'll never really truly see possibilities. I have such a plethora of friends and minds, and, you know, one of my friends is a professor and another friend is I have a friend that's a stripper, love it, you know, love it to death. I have friends
have friends that's doing all types of things. I have another friend who's trying to become a marijuana grower out in Colorado. But I love talking to each one of them at different points in my life. And I don't talk to them all the time, but they inspire new thoughts. They inspire creativity. They inspire different things from me that maybe I wouldn't normally see if all I'm doing is taking the kids to school, coming home, cooking dinner, and I just kind of stay in that bubble. And so be creative and then think outside of your box. Like, get the so-and-so out of your box. Get out of it. And then when you get out of it, set that shit on fire so that you'll never go back in it. Right. Set it on fire. And keep living and be passionate and do things out of the ordinary. I love to walk. I have a park by my home, and I'm really kind of persnickety a little bit. And so things freak me out, bugs, that sort of thing. When it hits me, I will take my shoes off. And at any point, my neighbors will see me walking to the mailbox with no shoes on, maybe a big shirt, and then I'll just stand out there. Because I feel like not being mommy right now, you know. I need to just stand out by myself and be by myself and just kind of do my own thing. And that's my truth sometimes. And it's okay to be passionate that way. It's okay to go get a random tattoo after drinking with Melissa, and then you walk across the street, and I let this man put this ugly tattoo on my hand, girl, that won't even, like, the swelling won't even go down. Now, I probably won't do that again because I had like, a few Coronas and some other stuff, and so now I went and got this, like, literally sitting in the restaurant with Melissa, and I'm saying, let's look at a tattoo. She's like, okay. She didn't get one. Right. But she told me to get one.
But that's how you remember, Marie. You remember so say you may not know this, right? So when Marie and I met 8 years ago, we met on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. That following Saturday, she texted me, and she said, "I want to do something spontaneous, right?"
Mm-hmm.
So me, you know, I said, "Let's go get a tattoo," and we went and got a tattoo. And it's so funny because we did that, like, I had known her for literally a week. And I think that that's something that has, that was very indicative of how our friendship would be.
We
are 8 years later. But I think that, like, I wanted to touch on something that you said, Marie. A lot of times, too, sometimes you have to kind of leave everything behind, either lose it or just leave everything behind, like what Sage was saying, how as far as her going to Arizona, she just had the clothes that she had packed. You know, it wasn't necessarily a plan, you know what I mean? It was something that, I guess it was just a feeling, you know what I mean? And a lot of times people get so caught up in the planning of things. Oh, well, I'm planning on doing this. I plan to do that. And then we get so caught up in planning that we never do it. So another thing that people should also remember when it comes to living your passion is just do it. You know what I'm saying? And don't get so caught up on making the plan. You know what I mean? Just do it. You know, if you want to go, go to the Eiffel Tower, you know, of course you got to plan, save up money and all of that stuff, but don't get so caught up in the oh, I'm gonna plan to do this, so I'm gonna write this down, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that, because people get so caught up in the planning of things that they also get lost in, you know what I mean? That also causes people to kind of stay off or get off track and lose your focus, you know?
Mm-hmm. Planning could potentially be like the step cousin of fear, because we can plan so much and start to plan, and we're planning because we don't want anything to go wrong, and we want it so bad, and we're scared that we won't have it, so we dive so much into planning that we forget that we are conscious creators.
Right.
And we can create, we're always creating the experience. So planning can be important when you're just laying out the process or the steps that you may need to take. Like you said, you have to buy the ticket, so you have to go, you know, online and look up the ticket prices and things like that, but to plan it down to a T and where this is going to be, where that's going to be, I think that's when fear starts to creep back in.
Right.
It's a sign
Absolutely.
Of fear when you're trying to plan it down.
Even with something like a trip, you You know, even if you can't, let's say you look at a ticket and it's like $1,000 or whatever, even if you can't afford it right now, take that, you know, take the money and pay to a travel agent. You know what I'm saying? Because at least you're starting to put it into action. And you're not just talking about it. You're not just saying, oh, well, I want to do this or I'm going to do that. And that's the same thing when it comes to like a business. Take the steps. Don't always look at the end result. Don't always look at, oh, well, I'm here. I'm at A and I need to get to Z. You know what I'm saying? But you forget by, you know, getting from A to Z, you have to go through every other alphabet, every other letter of the alphabet. So you have to take those steps. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be standing at A and looking down at Z and like, dang, man, I can't get there. It's going to take me forever to get there. No, take the steps. And if it takes, you know, a day, if it takes a year, if it takes 5 years, at least you're making those steps. At least you're taking the steps to get to where you want to be. You know what I'm saying? And if it's as far as a business is concerned, I for me, I looked at trademarking, and I was like, damn, it's going to cost like $800 to trademark some shit, right? But the me a year ago would have been like, oh, well, I can't do that until I get a lump sum of money to do it. But no, you don't have to do that. So what I did was I reached out to an investor, and what I'm doing is investing, and this guy's holding my money. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to be able to help me do those things. So I said all that to say, take the steps. Don't always just look at the end result, or don't always just look at the bigger picture and say, well, I'm here, but I need to get there, and I can't get there because of where I am right now. You can get there.
Absolutely.
You just have to take the steps, and it may take more time than you expected. You know, I can bring the Bible in it, how people always say, well, God doesn't act on your time. He acts in his time. And it's the same thing. The universe responds to your actions. You know, you're not going to be able to just wish for whatever to happen. You actually have to take the step. You have to take the action or make the action towards what it is that you want. And it's going to happen in due time and in the right time.
Right, and it will happen. And, you know, I think all of the things that we're discussing today, I really hope you guys are sitting by your computer or on your phone and you have a pen and paper. You know, I would love for that to be the case. And listen, because we don't have all the answers. Because at the end of the day, you are going to have to navigate through your journey yourself. You know, you are going to have to find out what's going to be your light, what's going to light your path. And then you're going to have to make the decision to walk it. And sometimes it can be just you. Sometimes you'll meet colorful folks like us along the way, you know. But definitely don't ignore those little things that it seems like somebody's always saying this to you, or it seems like there's a message trying to get through to me, and you'll hear it and then you'll ignore it. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. And so, you know, go back to these steps again. We have letting go of fear, finding your truth, trusting yourself, taking responsibility for your own life through your actions and your words. Be creative. Be spontaneous. You know, go to the beach at night. Take your clothes off. Don't get caught, but take your clothes off. Get in the water. Take a swim. And the last one that is my absolute favorite is fall in love. Fall in love with your process. Fall in love with your life. Fall in love with living. Because if you can do that, and keeping in mind what love is, love being action. Love is action. Love is not an emotion. It isn't just feeling. It isn't just, ooh, she gives me butterflies, so I must be in love. No, love is what will I do to maintain this love? How can I get it to be sustainable? How can I allow it to grow in my life? And then how can I spread it? So fall in love. Fall in love and allow passion to completely encompass your life, to completely surround you in every area, whether it be your career, your family, your dreams, whatever your goals are. Do those things with complete passion and watch your life be transformed. And we can't. do and be and all the things that the universe is calling us to do and be until we first allow ourselves to be transformed. And that takes place with passion. And that's your unwrap session.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. So we're going to be right back. We're going to get into some more music. This is Khalil Sadiq, Who Am I? So y'all make sure y'all check out Khalil Sadiq.
Who am I? That depends on your view. But many of you do go through a lot just to get with me. I'm the center of attention in your puff puff pass circle. When you hit me, I come nickel bagged, dimed, 20 sack, in small to large Ziploc if you want more than that. Oops, my bad. I meant more of me. Now, it's been said by many that I help them feel free. I aid in their creativity, help you see the unseen. At times, I'm dirty, but most of the times, I'm clean. I'm smoked by presidents and also by hippies. Genetically modified against my will, then I'm called creepy. I'm rolled up in blunt, so whatever can encase me. Everybody make money off of me and never pay me. I'm used, abused, burnt down until I'm only roaches. Put into ashtray graveyards until the dry approaches, but eventually, y'all come back to retrieve me. It's hard to stop cold turkey, ain't it, and leave me. Who am I? That depends on your view. Some say I'm a herb. Others argue that I'm a drug and shouldn't be legalized. You can smell me round the corner, see me in my user's eyes. Who am I? You know me by a different name, Sticky, Icky, Dosha, or that fi. It's all the same, I settle nerve and I alleviate glaucoma pain. You can cop me illegally by your weed, man. And I'm the shit. Cause when y'all hit me, you say, oh man, that's that shit. From the casual smoker to that seasoned repetitious toker. Unlike cigarettes, seems y'all hold me longer in your chest. For me, a cat a bar his homeboy's pee-pee cause he need a job, but gotta pass a piss test. I make munches so bad, vegans have thoughts of eating flesh. Before some puff me, they say a prayer and then ninja bless. Peter wrote to legalize me. Bob wrote to free the people, but instead y'all idolizing me. Using my lightliness against my will. Defaming my name up on the Capitol Hill. Man, I'm just a plant trying to get some sun. Don't be trying to blame me for that cancer in your lung. Who am I? That depends on your view. Some say I'm a herb. Others argue that I'm a drug and shouldn't be legalized. You can smell me round the corner, see me in my user's eye. Who am I? You know me by a different name, Sticky, Icky, Dosha, or that fi. It's all the same, I settle nerve, and I alleviate glaucoma pain. You can cop me illegally by your weed, man. And I'm the shit. Cause when y'all hit me, you say, oh man, that's that shit.
Well, that was Khalil Sadiq. That was Who I Am, or Who Am I, I'm sorry, from Khalil Sadiq. I'm going to turn it back over to Marie, who's going to close out our unwrapped portion of the show.
Well, I will, in a very funny way, actually. I actually had a friend of mine just text me something, and she said that this is me, and if this is me, then fantastic, and I wish all of you the same thing, but she said that this is me. The quote that she sent is from C. Joy Bell C., and it reads, I don't know why people are afraid of love. Then I can imagine that they are very afraid of me, for I have a great lust for everything, a lust for life, a lust for how the summer heated streets feel beneath my feet, a lust for the touch of another skin on my skin, a lust for everything. I even lust for cake. Yes, I am very lusty. and very scary. And it's okay. And some people may think you're crazy, you know, when you start living the life that we've been talking about today. You know, they may see you laughing a little bit more. You're a lot more cheery. Who knows? Maybe you will walk into your company and say, put me on part-time. I got shit to do. You know, who knows what you'll do?
Just like that.
And people will. Yeah, just like that. I got shit to do.
Well, sure.
Yeah, and who knows where passion is going to lead you. But be willing to let it lead you. Be willing to let go. Be willing to live fearless lives. Be willing to completely embrace that tingling feeling that you get all over when something feels oh so good. Let passion lead you.
I like that. I like that. I like that. Say, did you have any closing words?
Closing words, I do want to thank you so much for joining in with us, and feel free to not be quiet. We want to hear from everyone out there, add some color to the already colorful panel of hosts here for you. I do hope that if you're out there, you will connect with me, Sage_Mayotte on all social media, and again, thank you so much for joining us.
Cool. Marie, did you wanna as far as the doula training, is it something that anybody, let's say somebody's out there and they're wanting to get in contact with you now, can they do that now?
Absolutely, they can email me. My email address is Marie MarieDuReRoho@gmail.com. You can email me. You can also email the show. You can hit me up on Twitter. That will not be your only way to contact me, of course. We'll exchange phone numbers. We'll meet. We'll have tea. And I'll listen to you, and I'll listen to the things that you want your birth experience to be like. And this is everyone. I am most definitely LGBT-friendly, of course. And, you know, if this is for your surrogate, this is for someone else, if you have a teenage daughter, I am open to all of that and definitely sensitive to all of that. And in closing, of course, you know, I always want to encourage you to stay connected, you know, stay connected to self, stay connected to your community, stay connected to your spiritual source, and above all else, just love well.
Good tip. Do love well. So, and this is I Am Love Reigns. Make sure you guys follow me on Twitter at I Am Love Reigns. That's at IAMLOVEREIGNS. You can also follow me on Instagram. As far as myself or as far as what Love Reigns has going on, I've been chilling a lot lately. I've been really just kind of taking a break and kind of rejuvenating my soul and rejuvenating my spirit. To get back into performing and back into traveling. So that's what's coming up for me. That's what people are looking forward to. People have been asking me, when are you going to perform? Where are you performing? So anybody out there, Jacksonville, I will be performing soon in Jacksonville. I probably won't be doing any open mic, but I will be traveling and I will be performing. So just follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. There's a tour coming up with the record label that I'm on. We'll be touring starting in June. And then other than the show, man, I'm just working and really taking care of parents aside from Love Reigns. I've been taking care of Love Reigns for the past 8 years. It's time for me to take care of parents. So that's what I've been doing. And as far as upcoming shows for the Conscious Creative, make sure you guys tune in every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Coming up soon, I believe on the 13th, right, Marie? Is it the 13th that
we'll be announced? I was just thinking, listen, you guys got to check us out. We'll be at Piedmont Park April 13th. We'll be broadcasting live the lovely Lana. Some of you also can follow her on Instagram. Darn it, what is it? Sage.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What is it? What is she on Facebook, on Instagram?
What is she on Instagram? She's great. You all just follow us and we'll post something so you can connect to her. How about that?
I can remember. But she's having a fantastic event. It's called The Stiff Nick. getting women together, dispelling that myth that women can't get along, especially black women can't get along. Come out, man, fellowship with us. But we'll be broadcasting live. It's going to be a fantastic show. Like, all of our shows are fantastic, like, for real. But this show is also going to be phenomenal as well. And that'll be in April.
April 13th. Good deal, good deal. And then Sage will be there soon. So hopefully the three of us will be together very soon to do a show. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be awesome. Again, thank you guys for calling into the Conscious Creative. Make sure you listen every Sunday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. If there's anyone who wanted to listen to the show that wasn't able to, we're going to post the link because all of the shows are recorded. And if there's any other show that you want to listen to, you can go back into the archive. Just go to blogtalkradio.com /getliftedradio. And then type in the Conscious Creative, and it'll come up. It'll bring up all of the shows that we've done previously. So this is Love Reigns signing out. Marie Beer Rojo and Sage Mayotte, sending mad love and light and respect to our fourth host, Alexis, a.k.a. at number one fetish. Please send her much love and light. She is shipping off tomorrow for basic training. And I also want to thank Nelly, the artist, for calling in again. So y'all make sure y'all follow her and support independent artists, support artists, support artistry, support entrepreneurs, all of that good stuff. So we're going to close out with The Optimist by a good friend of mine, excuse me, by the name of The I Give. So once again, thank you all for chiming in and tuning in to The Conscious Creative.
Need a
What if I wrote the rhyme of a lifetime? Is there really a flow out there like mine? Is opportunity here? About time. Love is the one thing I want, team I can't find. Seems I can't fly without the support. On my city is somebody rolling with me. Got dreams of a million, but can't pull a $50 gig. So I take a swig of this penny. Anybody at all know what really it takes for an MC make a living off of the music he be giving. Love, faith, and wisdom. But if I say that I rap, then they say it's just a gimmick. Gimmick my motherfucking ass. Got a passion, but that limit be my motherfucking cash flow. Asshole with a lasso, nigga tryna rope the hardest sayings, let me fast forward. I deserve to still be reserved in the bench like I'm injured while these chips go berserk. And these teen girls need search for the hearts of these jerks. But we work harder every minute at the thought of being no longer slaves to the day job. While our dreams passed away by the wayside. Once I gave love, got burned and gave up. And stayed up, probably cause the Cold War hates us. The flavor, change of my soul got mixed up. With my feet on the road that be running got tripped up. But I ain't lose balance, I know I got talent. Don't make me get violent, the violence. Playing for a lamb who is silent. Hey, yes, I miss ya. Voice waiting patient for the day you whisper. Triumph over the giants like a Jacksonville. Sober behind the music be like action feel. Niggas on the charts be like wacky still. Baby looking hot, let me catch a feel. Link so appealing, now I'm reeling myself back to the fact that we still here. And it is what it is, nigga. Kill or be killed. You was real or be real, nigga. Still in the field, nigga. Still claiming thrill. You got a job that be real. Then you always gonna be a nigga. I'm shooting for the stars, I'ma be bigger. Figured I'm a star galaxy, couldn't be clearer. Steering off the map, can't avoid every trap. But we still in the veil, go figure. Now, when will we learn the wheels that we turn? Give us life, give us death, every breath must be earned. And when we discern the problem, that's the first step takes to resolve them. So I pray we escape the sex in the stripper house, the cunt in the liquor store, bring with us a million more. When we get the message out, we're all film. And don't band together, then the veil will not stand. Band like we brothers through the rhymes of production. My soul, your facilities, but these hoes keep me busting. Homie, who I trust in, my love and my life. So I'm giving through these rhymes my life. I see what you got.
absurd. Still be reserved on the bench like I'm injured while these chips go berserk. And teen girls need jerk for the hearts of these jerks. But we work harder every minute at the thought of when will we learn? It's wheels that we turn. Give us life, give us death. Every breath must be earned. And when we discern the problem, that's the first step takes to resolve them. Yeah.